Thank you for giving us an hour of your Christmas Eve. We know it's busy. We know it's hectic. We know you got food to eat, gifts to unwrap, family to see, some to hide from. And we're glad that you came here tonight to just celebrate, to hit pause. Because in all that stuff, we do not want you to get so full of Christmas that you miss Christ. And so we want to hit pause and just for a moment focus on what this is all about. You know, Christmas is a very, very important holiday for we Christians. It is Easter and Christmas. You know, there's a lot of holidays throughout the year. I mean, Valentine's Day is, you know, sort of sappy and great. It's not a Christian holiday. Thanksgiving's a great holiday. I love it. But it's not a Christian holiday. It's a biblical reality, a biblical concept, but not a Christian holiday. But Christmas and Easter, big ones for us. We celebrate on Christmas the day that Christ was born. He wasn't born, we don't believe, on December the 25th. That's not what we believe. We don't know when he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we set aside that day to celebrate it, all right? And so for a long time, we've been celebrating the birth of Jesus during this month, during this time, and then in the spring, we'll celebrate his resurrection, his death, his crucifixion, resurrection. Tonight, the reason I'm talking about both of those is we're going to celebrate really both as we do communion. We're going to really talk about the fact that Jesus was born to die. Why was he born? Why are we celebrating this? And we've been going through this Advent season. Every Christmas we call our series, our season, Advent, because for a long time, churches and Christians have been celebrating Advent. It means the coming of a very important event or person, the arrival. And we've been celebrating the arrival of Jesus, looking forward to his second return, his second coming, his return. And we've been lighting candles each week. We have already, you see four candles that are burning. We've lit the hope candle, the peace candle, the joy candle, and the love candle. And tonight, in a moment, we're gonna light the Christ candle. Now, as you see, the Christ candle is in the very center. And the reason that the Christ candle is in the very center, it's the big white candle. The reason it's in the center is because Christ is the center of hope. He's the center of peace. He's the center of joy. He's the center of love. As a matter of fact, Christ is the center of everything, all right? Today, Allie, Kate, and I were driving down in Murfreesboro. We were doing a little Christmas shopping, and I know I'm one of those, some of you men, you're always like, yeah, we always wait till Christmas Eve. We were driving today, and Allie, Kate saw a sticker on the back of a car that said, Jesus is the reason for the season, and read it, and I said, yeah, baby, he's the reason for the season. He's the reason for every season, right? He's the center of everything, and there's three realities that I want to point out and zero in on tonight, and it's not going to be long. I promise this is not a three-point message that's going to take forever. I just want to point out three quick things and zero in on them about Jesus tonight. First, I want to zero in on the fact that Jesus is the center of our understanding of God. Second is Jesus is the center of creation. And third, Jesus is the center of our salvation. I want us to point out, as we think and pause and think about Christ at Christmas and what this celebration is all about, I want to think about those three things. First, let's look at the fact that Jesus is the center of our understanding of God. Now, if we go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and read, here's what we find in John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, John 1 echoes Moses' writings in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created, okay? Now, John 1:1 gives a little commentary on Genesis 1:1, really. Here's what John says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word, we call the Bible the Word of God. Jesus is also called the Word. Why is that? What does that mean? Well, Word is a word that means revelation. The Bible is the written revelation of God. It is God's words, it's God's thoughts, it's God's heart, it's God's will. We see God revealed through his written word, right? Jesus is the living revelation of God. He is the center of our understanding of God. How did God create the world? He spoke the world into existence. Jesus is the Word. He is the agent of creation. That's what John tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen to what he says. He was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, Christmas is about celebrating the fact that God put on flesh and came into the world through the birth canal, like all of us, 2,000 years ago in a podunk town called Bethlehem, right? But that was not the beginning of Jesus. That was when he put on flesh. Jesus has no beginning. He pre-existed. He's before Christmas, right? He has no beginning. He has no end. He has always existed. He is God the Son, right? And then so what we see in Colossians, Paul tells us this in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is God. And in putting on flesh, he made God's character and God's attributes very tangible and very touchable. All of a sudden, this invisible God that was invisible, that people knew existed, that people knew was there, that people prayed to, that people trusted in the Old Testament. Moses, he talked to God, he trusted God, but he was invisible. Now, all of a sudden, this invisible God, he was touchable, he was tangible, he was visible. All of the attributes of God dwelled in him. It says that he is the image of the invisible God. When we look at Jesus, we can see how God thought about things. We can see how he treated people, both people who treated him nicely and people who didn't. We see how he treated people who were far from him. We see how he treated, religious people. We see how God loved things, and we see the things that God hated. We see God when we see Jesus. He is the beginning of our understanding of God. Jesus' disciples, if you'll remember, one time they asked him, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And so they had the privilege of walking with Jesus, of walking with God, of literally talking with God, touching God, shaking God's hand. They absolutely walk with God. Jesus is the beginning of our understanding. He is the center of our understanding of God. But not only is he the center of our understanding of God, Jesus is the center of all creation. In verses 3-5, John continues to write this: "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Everything in existence has been created by Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. Everything. He's the center of creation. Nothing was made apart from Christ. You, your children, nothing. No mountain, no star, no galaxy, no planet. Nothing was made. Oxygen, blood in our veins. Nothing was made apart from Jesus. He is the very agent of creation. Now think about this. I remember when I've got 5 kids, and all of those kids, when they were young, I did what every daddy does, right? Every daddy, when your kids are babies, and some of you have babies now, and when your kids are babies, here's what you do. You'll take your finger and you'll put it in their palm, and they'll grasp your palm, your finger, right? And you know that, and you think, oh man, they're holding on to daddy. It's really a reflex, but I don't want to spoil that for you. Right? I mean, I know that they're holding on to you, but you know, you put your finger in their palm, and they grab your palm, your finger, and you're thinking, oh, isn't that so sweet? Here's what I want. You did that. I did that. Well, think about Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary, the adopted father of Jesus on earth. Think about Joseph, you know, as a daddy, because he was a daddy like you. He bounced Jesus on his knee. Man, he put him to sleep. He changed his diaper. He did all the things that daddy's done, unless it's a bad diaper, and then Amy did all that. But he did all that. You know that Joseph put his little finger in Jesus' hand, and Jesus grasped his finger. And I wonder if Joseph, at that moment, knowing all that he knew, I wonder if he thought, this is unbelievable. You know how fulfilled and happy what smile it brings on your face when your kids do it. Think about Joseph putting his finger in the palm of Jesus' hand and Jesus grasping his hand. I wonder if Joseph thought, this is the very hand that created me. This is the hand that created me. The very day I was to be born, this is the hand that sustains me. This is the hand that still puts blood in my veins and air in my lungs. This is the hand that absolutely brought all things into existence. He's in charge of every planet and every star, even as a baby. That's the beauty and wonder of Jesus. He is the center of our understanding of God, and he is the center of all creation. And today, what I want you to understand, because Christmas is such an exciting time, I'm excited, you're excited, we love Christmas, but you know what? For some of you tonight, Christmas is a little depressing, because this has been a tough year. You've got memories of Christmas throughout your life, that some of those memories a big part of those memories might not be there this Christmas. Maybe you lost someone that you love. That's very difficult, and we acknowledge and understand that. Maybe this is a difficult Christmas because you got some bad news along the way, but for whatever reason, some of you are really struggling. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is the center of creation, which means he is the creator and the sustainer of all life, and he holds it all. And you may never put it all together on this side, but you can trust and you can have hope. As we lit the hope candle, you can have hope in the fact that he is in control and he holds it all. He is the center of creation. And the third and final thing I want to point out and zero in on tonight is Jesus is the center of our salvation. It's really why we're here, isn't it? Jesus is the center of our salvation. In John 1, 9 through 14, here's what John says. He says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Listen now, this is where it's really good. This is why we're here tonight. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, a very important passage right here, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the one as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Scripture says that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He started it and he will carry it to the end. That's why we can have hope. That's why we can have peace. That's why we can have joy. That's why we can understand and absolutely revel in the love of God. He is the one who gave us salvation if you are redeemed. He is the one who started it and he will complete it. That is a promise from the Word. It's him. He is the center of our salvation, right? It's Jesus that gives us the right to become children of God. John 14, 6 says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in a really, really, really peculiar time in our world. We live in a time, you see, when there's so many thoughts about God and the afterlife and heaven and the way to God. And, you know, it's really, really cool in our world today that to believe that there are so many paths up the mountain to God. As long as you're sincere and you're a good person, then you can worship any God you want and you can make your way up that path. But that, folks, is completely contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says there are many people on many paths, but there's only one path that leads to God, and that's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus and only Jesus. It's no other path that leads up the mountain to God. There are false paths leading to a very, very dark place. Only Jesus. And what we see here is Jesus is the only way to God. God gave us laws. So that God gave us laws, and listen, we were miserable at keeping those laws, weren't we? But God didn't give us those laws so that we could keep them and be saved and earn our way to heaven. He gave them to us to show us that there is no way we can keep them and earn our way to heaven. And that's why he sent his son. Because you see, here's what happened. 2,000 years ago, he said, they can't keep these laws. They're not going to. And it wasn't 2,000 years ago. This was planned from the very beginning. Jesus is not plan B. This is the plan. We knew we could not keep the law, and so 2,000 years ago, God put on flesh himself, and he came to live among us, and he lived absolutely perfect. That's what the law requires, perfection. Imagine that. Didn't that sound crazy? Jesus never committed one sin. He was in the flesh. He was fully God, but yes, he was fully man, but he never committed one sin, never thought a bad thought, never had a lustful thought, never said an evil word, a word that dishonored God or anyone else, never committed a sinful act. Word, deed, omission. He never omitted anything from his life that God was commanded to do by the Father, not one sin. And you know what that got him? Killed on a cross. Killed on a cross. Why? Because that was my death and your death that he died. And then he came out of the grave on the third day, which said, it's finished, it's done, it's sealed, it's great. And so when you place your faith in him, he gives you that righteousness and takes your sin. That's why John says that, no man, it's not the will of man, it's the will of God, right? Salvation isn't a matter of the will, it's a matter of the heart, and we can't change our hearts. Only God can change our hearts. So God sent his son to change our hearts. He sent his son, and Christmas is what we celebrate because that is the plan of God in coming to our world to save us. Those who would redeem, not the whole world, not everyone, but those who would believe. Do you believe today? Do you believe? You see, Christmas is the celebration of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the beginning of our understanding of God, the center of our understanding of God. He is the center of our He's the center of creation. He is the center of our salvation. But my question to you is he the center of your life? You see, here's what happens in our world. A lot of times people want heaven. They like that. Man, I like the thought of heaven. Who wants to go to hell? I like the thought of heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I like the thought of all that God offers. So I want to accept Jesus into my life, and I want him to be in my orbit, right? And we got a lot of things in our orbit, and we just let Jesus be one of those things in our orbit. You know what we call that? We call that cultural Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is this. Jesus is the sun, right, that everything orbits around. He is not in our orbit. We are in his. He is the center of our life. The gravitational pull of everything of our life should be toward Jesus Christ. Is he the center of your life? The center of your decisions, the center of your passions, the center of your desires. Ask that question because we're getting ready to celebrate communion. And communion is what Jesus set up for us to remember. His death and his torture and his death. And the night before Jesus was arrested, he was with his disciples and they were celebrating Passover. And they had done this for years, ever since they come out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt to remember how God had redeemed them. They were celebrating Passover. And what Jesus did was he took a piece of unleavened bread and he broke that bread and he broke it into pieces and he passed it around. And he said, "This is my body." Now the disciples knew it wasn't literally his body. He was talking in symbol. He was talking in metaphor. He was saying, "My body," and they didn't know that night what he was talking about. But the next day, he would be literally beaten and tortured, his body torn apart. He was saying, "This is my body broken for you." He passed around a glass of wine, and he said, "This is my blood spilled for you." Not literally. It was not a glass of blood. It was a glass of wine. It was a symbol of his blood that would be spilled, and life is in the blood. And he was setting this up so that we Christians would forevermore, until he returns, he said, "Do this as often as you do it, to remember me." And so that's what we do as a church. Churches for 2,000 years have been doing what we call communion or the Lord's Supper just to remember. Now, the church in Corinth, man, they were sort of a wild church, and they got off the rails in many different areas. And one of the ways they got off the rails was in the way they took communion. They took it very frivolously, didn't think about it. They were just doing it because it became routine. And man, they were getting drunk on the communion wine, and they were just, I mean, it was just crazy off the rails. And Paul chastised them for that. And he said, "Stop, what are you doing? Think about this. You ought to examine yourself before you take communion, before you take the Lord's Supper. See what's in your life. Let it be a realignment to say, is Jesus the center of my life, my passions, my desires, my dreams, my goals? Is he the center of my life? And if he is not, that's where you confess, Jesus, you're not the center of this, of this, of this." And so what we want you to do right now is Paul challenged the Corinthians to examine yourself. Is there anything within you that you need to confess and to God so that you can come and remember how he died and that blood of his blood and his body was broken and his blood shed to redeem those who would believe? And so we're going to take communion. Let me tell you how we're going to do it. In a moment, Travis and Jordan are going to come back, and Brandon, and they're going to lead us in songs. And here's what we're going to do. We have six tables up front. We have two in the back. If you've been here before, you know the drill. If you're a new guest, first off, we're so honored that you're here. Thank you for being here, giving us this time. But in a moment, you can come down to any table you choose. Just break up and go to all. Our staff will be here to serve communion to you. What we're going to do is we're going to take a small piece of bread, and we're going to dip it into some juice. We use juice here, okay, in case any of you would have a problem with alcohol, you're safe. Okay, we don't want to cause anyone to have any issues. So we use juice. And so we'll take a small piece of bread and we'll dip it into the juice. Okay? Don't worry. All of our staff, we made sure they washed their hands and we've got some Germex on their table. Don't worry about that. I know you're like, "He's touching that bread." That's what I'd have been thinking. I'm just telling you. So we made sure we got Germex and washed our hands and all that. And so we're going to take bread and we're going to dip it into the juice, and then we're going to give it to you. Now, it's for Christians. All right. So if you're a Christian, you're not a member of our church, but you're a Christian, welcome to the table. Okay. You don't have to be a member of our church, just a Christian. But here's what that means. Okay. Some of you have kids that are not yet that have given their life to Jesus, right? I've got 5 kids, and we've had to do this now for 30 some years, okay? We've had to hold our kids back, right? And so some of you have got kids that are not yet believers. And when they come up, sometimes I don't know if they've given their life to the Lord yet or not, right? Parents, would you help us with that, okay? You, the person who's serving, you look at that person, you shake your head, yes, he or she can have, or no, they can't, all right? And so you help us with that, parents. We're putting that on you, Pastor Dad and Mom, to be in their life and help us to know that, okay? And so Travis is going to come, and when you take, we'll hand it to you. You can just go through. You can go back to your seat, take. You can take it right there. You can spend time in prayer, whatever you want to do, and then go back to your seat. And then wait, and then after everyone has taken, we're gonna light the Christ candle, and we're gonna sing Silent Night, and then we're gonna offer the Christ candle. I'm gonna light a candle, I'm gonna light our staff candles, and they're gonna begin lighting, and you're gonna see how the love of God just absolutely just multiplies as it begins to go out from person to person, okay? And so let's pray and begin to celebrate and serve and partake of communion together, okay? Father, we love you. Thank you for Christmas. God, I hope and pray that we do not get so full of Christmas that we miss Christ. Thank you for these folks that have taken time tonight, and Lord, at the service at 3 and at all of our other campuses, Lord, in 6 services, Christmas Eve services that we have. Father, we thank you that people are hitting pause to say, this is what this is all about. I love getting the gifts, and I love partying with my family, and I love eating the food and the candy, and I love all that, but this is what this is all about. Thank you for people who've said, I'm going to pause and remember and not get so full of Christmas that I miss Christ. God, right now as we celebrate communion, and God, you were born. The reason we're celebrating communion is because your birth is significant, because you were born to die. And we celebrate that, Father. And help us tonight to examine ourselves. Forgive us of any sin that is within us, Lord, that we may come to your table and realign our lives and make sure that you are the center of our lives. Thank you for your body broken and your blood spilled to redeem those who would believe. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.